It's 12:45 and you're tuned to 90.7 KRWG Las Cruces. It's my pleasure to welcome David Rogers into our studios.
Hi.
Welcome.
Great, thank you.
Good to have you here. David Rogers,
good to be here.
You're a composer and a guitarist of many styles, Baroque and jazz, folk.
Yeah, I think that's musician survival 101, be versatile. And so one tries to be as versatile as one can with the cards one is dealt, I guess.
Well, when were these cards dealt to you? When did you start playing guitar?
A long, long time ago. When I was in high school, I always say I was fortunate to live in Detroit during that time, because there was a really sophisticated guitar scene going on. And I studied... One week I would study, I would have a classical guitar lesson, and then the next week I would do a jazz guitar lesson. So I think that led to a lot of versatility that I've been able to use later in life.
And do you veer towards one kind of music or the other, or do you like to include everything in a performance?
Oh, you know, I think primarily I'm a classical musician, but, you know, I still think of, like, my primary compositional and kind of musical influences were those those school of Miles Davis musicians like John McLaughlin and Chick Corea, and I think particularly John McLaughlin has been a really major influence on my ideals of what music should be, at least compositionally. And then also another guitarist named Ralph Towner, who is actually from the region of the country where I currently live, in Eugene, Oregon, and he played with an ensemble called Oregon starting in the, I guess, early 70s, and they're still active. They're getting up there in years, but they're still healthy and active. And so classical musician, but I always kind of listening to a lot of different things.
I remember the group Oregon. I haven't heard that name in a very long time.
Yeah.
So in addition to this, the different styles, you also play different kinds of guitar, including an early guitar called a vihuela.
Vihuela, yeah. About 20 years ago, I hired into the Oregon Shakespeare Festival as a musician, and the job was I played lute and viola da gamba, and so I did a lot of early instruments. A lot of classical guitarists do that. I mean, it's not totally strange, but I still play a lot of flute. I just did a concert with Matthew Halls in Eugene last week, which is very cool, and doing, you know, similar things coming up. So the Baroque lute and the arch lute are still, playing continuo is still a big kind of part of my working life, I guess.
So as a working musician who's on the road a lot, we'll talk about that in a minute, when you sit down to practice each day, do you start with the guitar? Do you always play lute? Do you, like, how do you arrange your practice time?
Well, I mainly, if I've got something pressing, I focus on that, and then, you know, then after that I'll do something else. With the touring program that I've been traveling with, it is pretty under my fingers, so I don't have to worry a lot about that, although I try not to be too cavalier about it either. But when, you know, there are programs coming up that, you know, I have to focus on those things.
Okay, well, the touring program is quite extensive. You've been on the road a lot in the last several months, and 6-8 concerts a month in various different places, and it looked to me like, well, you're on the road driving, I'm assuming, from some of these places.
Yeah. This trip is kind of a shorter trip. I played in Phoenix 2 nights ago, and tonight in Las Cruces, and then I go back to
Oregon,
to Oregon and do some things there. About 6 weeks ago, I had a kind of fun tour through the East Coast where I played in D.C. and then Hyannisport and then the Boston area and then upstate New York at the Springville Art Center. And then a cool old kind of reconstruction of a Gothic Tudor mansion called Rutherford Hall in New Jersey. But it was fun for me to, the concert in Hyannisport was a house concert like two blocks away from the Kennedy compound. And I thought that was really cool. Then I told like acquaintances and friends in Massachusetts that I did that. And I just thought, oh, that's just so old hat and touristy. But for me, it was kind of fun, you know, to be close to that stuff. Mm.
You're also a composer. When were you composing right from the beginning, or is that more recent?
Yeah, actually, always from the composing from the beginning, and I'm glad I had that early jazz training too, because it makes one unafraid, I think, of composing and willing to take chances with it. Yeah, that's been going well, and yeah, I think that's the composing has given me more kind of traveling legs, I think, than if I had not done that. And then getting into early music too, and my work with Terra Nova, that is very much compositional. Early music is compositional because if you're playing like Baroque music with continuo, you're always, you know, kind of making your own part from the available continual figures. And then with earlier music, with Renaissance music, that a lot of what you hear on recordings by people who do that is kind of composed.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little, because maybe there are listeners who don't fully understand that a lot of the Renaissance and Baroque music, maybe just the chord is given, or certain notes or certain figures, and yes, it was understood at the time that the performers were going to do some improvisation, but particularly
right.
in the bass continuo.
Right, parts. Right, and I think what's useful for that as a composer is you just always dealing with harmony and always listening and making decisions, and that kind of breaks the ice from, you know, being a strictly classical musician who is, you know, a fine artisan and copying back to someone who is willing to deal with the nuts and bolts of harmony and music.
Yeah, I mean, it really means that you have to be completely on top of the music as you're playing it, because you're often improvising it right then and there.
Wow, now I'm scared.
Well, I guess, yeah. I don't mean it in that kind of way, but it's not like the notes are on the page and you can ever
true.
Sit back.
True. You have to be on. And then you've got the added thing that you're playing in an ensemble or accompanying, and you know that it's fun though to be kind of in the moment. I really kind of enjoy that.
There have been some reviews that have really pointed up to your improvisational skill, so I'm just curious, when you're playing other kinds of music, do you, that is maybe composed by you or somebody else, do you include improvisation sometimes?
A bit. I think what happens with improvisation is improvisation twice starts to become composition. And so I tend to figure things out and treat things kind of like a flamenco guitarist would, in that one thinks, like, if you listen to a good flamenco guitarist, that they're improvising, but they're not. They've actually planned every note out. And so I think I tend to do that. I improvise, and then I want to make decisions finally. But yeah, there is some improvisation in the show, and especially with my ensemble Terra Nova concert, that was one of the funnest things of playing with them, is that there are these sections where I could go pretty crazy.
And you're still with Terra Nova?
We're inactive right now. We haven't been working together, but we had a long run, and we'll probably meet up again sometime.
Uh-huh. Speaking with David Rogers, and he's performing tonight at the Black Box Theater at 7 o'clock. Tell us a little bit about what listeners can expect at the concert tonight.
Well, I will be doing a lot of standard classical guitar pieces. I'll be doing three pieces from the J.S. Bach E minor lute suite, and I'll be doing the Asturias and the Recuerdos de la Alhambra and some other things. Then I'll be doing some of my own compositions, which are kind of in a contemporary instrumental kind of style. And then I've recently been making these arrangements of Leonard Cohen songs, which have been really, really popular. And I've been actually kind of surprised at how well they go over. I've got an arrangement of Hallelujah, and then Suzanne also. And then, just to be totally evil, I've got a couple Rolling Stones also. I've got Wild Horses, which again is one of these pieces like Hallelujah or Suzanne that really strikes this deep kind of almost spiritual chord in people. And then also I'm doing Under My Thumb. I've got an arrangement of Under My Thumb, which is, it's kind of new. It's still a little bit scary for me.
When did you start studying? How old were you?
Studying guitar?
Yeah.
When I was 8.
Uh-huh. And did you know immediately that this was what you wanted to do with your life, or...
I think when I was, you know, I did it for a while when I was 8, and then I got back into it. I left it for a little while when I was like 12 or 13. And yeah, I think a professional musician, they get into music and they just want to keep on studying and learning more about music all the time. And that's really the motivating force, and then things like jobs and gigs and teaching kind of come secondary, but it's that core wanting to understand more about music on more deep levels that I think motivates people.
And are you working on a new composition right now?
You know what I'm planning on doing over, I've got a couple weeks off over the winter break, and I want to do a cover of an arrangement another Leonard Cohen song what's the other one that everyone, there's like three, Hallelujah, Suzanne, and
whatever
third
it is.
One. Yeah, I totally forgot. I hate it when I do that.
We're out of time. David Rogers tonight at 7 o'clock at the Black Box Theater. Thank you so much for coming in and chatting
with
us.
Thank you.